So there's a biblical alignment of the stars whose journey through time and space have arrived exactly when we need it, this very week. So here's the biblical alignment. 3 weeks ago, we began the annual rabbinic tradition to break the cycle of Haftarot. That is, selections from the book of prophets that typically are chosen by their thematic connection to the weekly Torah portion. The brilliant rabbinic innovation was to select three Haftarot leading up to Tisha B'Av, the ninth of Av on the Jewish calendar. This was to break the cycle of selections based on a connection to the Torah portion, rather selecting because of a particular date on the Jewish calendar. So in the case of the date of the ninth of Av, as Rabbi Steele noted a few weeks ago, the ninth of Av is a day of mourning, commemorating the times of the greatest tzuras for the Jewish people. On the short list of the tzuras are the destruction of the first and second temple in Jerusalem, the expulsion of Jews from England, the expulsion of Jews from Spain, the beginning of World War I, when the Treblinka death camp began operating, the ninth of Av, you get the idea. Tradition has it that the destruction of the first and second temples in Jerusalem were brought about by the Jewish people's own sins, specifically the divisiveness and mistreatment of one another within the Jewish community, known as Sinat Chinam, baseless hatred. Because of that, the rabbis chose three, hang in there with me, they chose three Haftarot of admonition from the prophet Jeremiah leading up to the ninth day of Av. It's not easy to hear the harsh rebuke from Jeremiah 3 weeks in a row. After the 3 weeks of admonition, the rabbis shift gears, actually quite dramatically, moving from rebuke to comfort. Starting this Shabbat tonight begins what's known as Shiva Denechmata, the seven Haftarot of consolation. Each week, the Haftarah reading is taken from the prophet Isaiah. Consolation through Isaiah, should not be confused with comfort food. Rather, Isaiah gives us a way to reassess how we carry ourselves in the world and how we can realign to our North Star. So, 3 weeks before the ninth of Av, we have admonition. And then 7 weeks after the ninth of Av, we have consolation. But the rabbis aren't quite done. They choose to add one more reading for the Shabbat immediately preceding Yom Kippur. Seven Haftarot would take us before Rosh Hashanah, but the rabbis want one more week before returning to the regular cycle of Haftarot. They add one more reading, whose common theme is chosen from three prophets, Hosea, Joel, and Micah, underscoring the blessings of abundance, release, forgiveness, and healing. So those will be read on the Shabbat between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, known as Shabbat Shuvah, the Shabbat of return, returning to our best selves. There is a poetic justice of the universe that brings us to a biblical threshold tonight. On Monday of this week, there was a seismic event that has upended Israel. A law was passed in the Knesset, Israel's legislative body, that removes the only checks and balances to the legislative and executive branch, the only checks and balances that would be with the Supreme Court. The current government, the majority of 64 of 120 members of the Knesset, MKs, had this judicial change in their sights when the prime minister created his coalition government. Democratically elected parties that were brought together in a coalition government. Hundreds and thousands of Israelis of all walks of life have been, in anticipation, have been protesting for 29 weeks and running in favor, yes, of good faith negotiations for judicial reform, but against removing the only checks and balances that protect the rights of the most vulnerable people in Israel. That is a fracture, surely, amongst Israeli Jews, and a fracture for marginalized non-Jews as well. And here's the bitter irony of alignment. The bill passed 3 days before Tisha B'Av, the millennial-old day of destruction for the Jewish people. For the 3 weeks before the bill was passed, Jews around the world and in Israel read Jeremiah's biting words of rebuke. And tonight, it might not feel like this makes sense, but it actually is perfect. Tonight, our tradition insists that we move on to Isaiah's words of consolation. It's not hyperbole to consider the threshold that lies at the foot of Medinat Yisrael, at the foot of the state of Israel. The threshold offers two distinct paths to cross. One path, crossing the threshold, as Israel's renowned philosopher and scholar, Dr. Micah Goodman, envisions, is a path that leads to a constitutional crisis. Yes, a crisis that could lead to civil war. The other path that Micah Goodman envisions leads to what he calls a constitutional moment, an opportunity for Israel to take on the foundational undertaking of writing a constitution. 75 years later, and Israel is nothing less than a miracle. 75 years later, this moment lies on the other side of the threshold as well. But for now, for tonight, let's not lose sight of the Jewish people's companion in crossing the threshold, moving towards a vision of unity, choosing a constitutional moment. Our companion this Shabbat is the first Haftarah of consolation. It's the prophet Isaiah channeling the words of God, and I will select just three different parts of this week's Haftarah. Nachamu, Nachamu Ami. Comfort, O comfort my people, says God, speaking tenderly to Jerusalem. The prophet is sending words of comfort to a battered, beleaguered people. The city of Jerusalem and cities across Israel embodies our people. Can we model Isaiah and approach one another with tenderness? The prophet goes on, Kol Omer Karav Amar Ma'ekra. A voice rings out, proclaim. Another asks, what shall I proclaim? And the prophet goes on, all flesh is grass, all its beauty like the flowers of the field. Grass withers, flowers fade, when the breath of the Lord blows upon them. Indeed, people are but grass. Grass withers, flowers fade, but the word of our God shall endure forever. The prophet is reminding us of our inherent beauty while putting our lives in perspective. Yes, life is fragile. Indeed, we come and go like grass. The prophet does not want to minimize the impact that we can have in our lives, but to recognize our mortality and spend our time in a way that elevates us as human beings, mirroring the preciousness of the natural world. And finally, the prophet Isaiah chooses the words, Se'u marom einechem ur'u mi bara ele. Lift high your eyes and see. Who creates these? God who sends out their host by count, who calls them each by name. Because of God's great might and vast power, not one of God's creation fails to appear. Isaiah is talking to members of the Knesset, the prime minister, to the Supreme Court justices, to the Israeli citizens that are on the streets and Motzei Shabbat after Shabbat tomorrow. Look at the news. You will see hundreds of thousands protesting, not fringe Israelis. Isaiah is talking to us as well, beseeching us to look up, to see the other, to hear the other, to call one another by name. God is modeling for us, yet God does not act for us. That's what these words are for us to take them into the real world, to take them into our hearts. Nachamu, Nachamu Ami, comfort, O comfort my people. Adonai Oz Le'amo Yiten, Adonai Yivarech Et Amo Vashalom. May God grant strength to our people. May God bless our people with peace.